If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You want to do the baseball now or 120? What are you feeling?
Man, I really do want to get some baseball. I think the Knicks stuff is still hot.
Me too.
I push back a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Usually we talk about that during the break. Figure we do it on the air. But yeah, I was going to do the same thing. Inside me, I still want to get more. I know we've done almost 4 hours. Well, 3 hours complete so far.
It's warranted.
It's the Knicks game five. There's plenty of time to talk about baseball. Both the Mets and Yankees playing. Mets are red hot. You can't be hotter than that. Yanks big game last night. So we'll save that for 120. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the Knicks calls right now. You know all the issues. Ann is in Harlem. What's up, Ann?
Afternoon, fellas.
Hey, what's going on, bud?
That was a tough one to watch last night, man. So you're a fan of that team. And I think I say this respectfully because I know he brought us back to relevancy and he got us back in the playoffs, but I think this team has reached its ceiling with Tibbs as the coach. And I'm going to tell you my opinion why. It's not because he runs them into the ground. It's really because on the offensive end of the floor, they don't have a plan and they don't have a clue. They have four All-Stars, guys. Okay? They have a guy who was an NBA champion, who won an NBA championship in Toronto. They have a guy who went to the finals in Mikal Bridges. And this guy cannot figure out a plan to get open shots, to get them the ball. There are four. You know what the Knicks do? Walk on water, Jalen. Hit a 27-footer, Cat. They don't have a plan on offense.
Yeah, and pretty much.
I don't. They may close out the Pistons, you know, because Jalen drops 40 and Cat hits a 27-footer. But they've reached their ceiling with Tibbs as the coach. They need an offensive mind who's going to come at it from a fresh perspective. And that may be, Sal, putting one of those guys on the second unit.
Right.
I don't know, but.
Or identifying what they need elsewhere to get them to another level. Meaning, hey, McBride's got some potential. That's great. He doesn't fit what we need to do to be a backup. Or the same thing with Bridges and Anunoby. You know, this isn't the right fit for this team, what they need. Maybe the head coach, a new head coach, come in and identify that better than Tibbs.
That's my opinion, guys. Thank you for taking
Thank you,
man. That's pretty much what I'm saying. You know, and it's it's an uncomfortable conversation, or it's an unpopular opinion, and it's an uncomfortable opinion. Not quite as unpopular as it was, but still uncomfortable. For me to say what I'm saying about Tom Thibodeau, because I really, really do respect him, and I know he's really good. It's just where they are and where he is, I don't see his ceiling intersecting with where their ceiling is, based on the salary cap. Based on the two-ish year window that I believe they have, not much more than that. Because, by the way, the Pistons are going to be coming, and other teams that are young now are going to be really good, in addition to the Celtics and the Cavaliers, who are also pretty young in a lot of spots, etc. The Magic with some really good young players. So it's not like it's going to be the Celtics and the Cavaliers forever. There's other teams coming. It's always fluid. And I don't think that it meshes. And when you don't think it meshes, and now there's more and more evidence, ample evidence that kind of supports what you think, even though I don't like saying it, I'm okay saying it because I feel that I'm right.
See, to me, moving on from a head coach or a manager, there has to be underachievement from that head coach or manager, if not multiple years, at the very least 1 year. I do not believe the Knicks under Tibbs prior to last night have ever underachieved. You can say that, all right, could they have beaten the Hawks that first year that they got in the postseason? Yeah, but it wasn't a great underachievement. They had nothing. If anything, they overachieved that year being the four seed.
I agree.
The year that they lose to Miami in the second round, again, should they have beaten Miami? They could have, but no Julius Randle, weren't fully healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I give him a pass on that. I don't think that it was a clear underachievement by Tibbs. last year, losing to the Pacers the way that they did with all the injury, again, I think that they overachieved. If anything, I don't think that they underachieved. No Randall, Anunoby banged up, all that stuff. Losing a Game 7 at home in the second round, not ideal. Big picture, was it underachieving for them? Sure, but in real time.
I don't think it was. I think they achieved what they were supposed to last year because of the injuries.
Exactly. With all the injuries, we come on and applaud them that next day.
No question.
So all these years, there has not been that underachievement, which is why I was reluctant to say that I would consider moving on from Tibbs. And I still would not move on from Tibbs. I don't think that that's the right thing. I don't think it's going to make them better necessarily. I just understand it more. Last night, to me, was the first real underachievement. A chance to clinch a series, a first-round series at home against a team that you're definitively better than, and you came up short. I don't want to hear the excuses. I don't care how it happened. They didn't get the job done, not to mention that he's front and center in that, being the way that he mishandled the timeout and all and with Brunson. So because of that, there is at the very least now one clear. Even if they win this series, I don't care. Game 5 at home, this team to where they're trying to be, they had to close that out. So that is one underachievement in the now in Tibbs era.
Yeah, and listen, the mistake at the end is unforgivable. So I've said that a million times. But they weren't even really ready to play, which is, I mean, of course the onus is on the players, clearly. But were they really ready to assert themselves? What was the game, tied after the first quarter? Did they get any separation by the half? No, it was 50-49. So you had every reason to just, like, the even though the Pistons are not a fragile group, they're tough as nails, but, you know, symbolically, you went on their court, you know, they've got no experience, they're not expected to win this series, Knicks prohibitive favorites in Vegas, you had them up against the ropes, and you let them come out, and you let them think right away, oh, well, we could win this game. I mean, I saw a video after the game where Tobias Harris is walking out of the Garden, you know, that tunnel where the... And he's like, I think it was a security guard. He's like, hey, make sure you tell everybody something like, make sure you tell everybody what I said before the game. I guess he told the security guard, if we win or when we win, make sure you play my music. Something like that. So he walked into the Garden feeling himself like, yeah, we got this. And that's a big problem. But it's not, I do think you raise a good point. There's not underachievement with this group until last night. But there's also, and this I base a lot of my stuff on this. There's no evidence that he overachieves except the 1 year in 2020 anywhere else. Did not overachieve with the Bulls. He had Derrick Rose, who interrupted LeBron James' MVP streak when LeBron was in his prime. He went to Minnesota. He got less out of that group than the current coach did. So if he was 45 and still not really sure who he was, I think it would be, you know, in terms of maybe some more upside that we had not identified yet, I'd be able to say, all right, he could grow. I don't think there's another level for Tom Thibodeau, and I can't mess around with this window that I think is only 2 years.
Tom is in Monmouth Beach. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Tommy.
Good.
So I tell you what, for starters, I just got to, you know what, in a weird way, got to give a little bit of kudos, though, for all the complaining we're all doing. At least we've had actually back-to-back years where the Knicks gave us a little hope. I mean, you know what I mean? If you think about it, it's been a long time since we've had a couple, like, stacks. And this has been kind of fun.
No, these are fun. It's fun to break down and watch the playoff games and get into the playoff series. Absolutely.
100%. And that being said, now I'm pissed off.
But that's a good thing.
Right.
It means
right.
It matters again.
Exactly. Yep. Makes it relative. 100%. So, all right, real quick, before you guys cut me off, I have a really funny Knicks logo thing at the end. But one of my questions was, if you kind of take a look, the old days, it was kind of considered, if you had 3 fouls on a guy, you pulled him out early, blah, 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 whatever. Mm. So here you got two guys sitting on the side. That you got 2.5 minutes left. How do you not put them in to utilize every second they're available? I don't care if they foul out or whatever. Every second they don't play,
yep,
is something that's lost. And that's just mind-blowing.
No, it's unacceptable. Tom, I want to hear your Knicks logo thing, but people need to understand. The 2 minutes and 57 seconds before they actually got in with 27 seconds to go, you're talking about almost 3 minutes of game action in a closeout game where 5 shots were taken and none of those came off the left hand of Jalen Brunson. Unacceptable.
100%.
Period.
100%. I mean, you got these guys out there that are capable. Just come on, utilize it. Whatever. So now, all right, real quick. Friend of a friend, long story short, was an equipment manager for an NHL team, blah, blah, blah. So he knows I'm a Ranger fan. He brings me into the Garden and says, listen, I'm going to get you down there to see your hallowed, you know, Rangers locker room. So we're down there for a little while, having a good time, see the away team's locker. So he says to one of the guys in the Garden, says, you guys want to see the Knicks locker? I'm like, yeah, if I'm here, what the hell? So I go walking in there.
Yeah.
So I walk in. I don't know if either of you have been there.
I've been there with St. John's a lot. Yeah, okay. The new one. It's gorgeous. It's awesome.
It's beautiful, but tiny, right?
Yeah, it's tiny. So most are like in the NBA. Yep.
Agreed. So I'm standing right there, taking my pictures and video. All I hear is like three people from the staff go, "What the F is this guy doing?" And I turn and look. I'm like, what's wrong here? I had no idea you're not allowed to stand on the Knicks logo unless you're a teammate or a player. I had no idea.
Really?
In the middle of the locker room. You are not allowed to step on that logo in the locker room unless you are a teammate.
What about the logo that we hate that they had last night? How about we step all over that? How about we wipe our feet on that logo?
That would you stomp on. But here's the best part. At the very end of it, one of the guys walked by, who's an employee, and he's a staff member at security. He overhears it. He turns and looks at the guy and said, he goes, "Well, when the Knicks effing win something, they can tell them to effing get off of it."
Yeah, keep it real. Probably been around a long time. That's funny. I didn't even... Have you been in the new locker room at the Garden?
No, I don't think so. How new?
Well, since they renovated, like when they had the new suites and the Chase Bridge.
No.
I mean, not brand new, but relatively new, I guess. It's really nice.
No, because we have had our credentials revoked, obviously, for many years. So I used to go quite a bit. It's also common sense. Come on, Tom. Sure. You got to know you can't just walk in the locker room and stand on a logo.
I think I would have done it with, like, absentmindedly. For sure.
No,
I don't
know. I'm always aware of that.
You, really?
Yeah.
You would have walked in and said, like, "Oh, I got to walk around this. I can't."
Yes.
I would never.
Absolutely. Rangers
credit to you.
Out there. Well, just. Yeah.
It wouldn't have been disrespect.
I'm not a walk on the lines guy. Like, I don't walk on the baseball diamond.
So
I'm not
second base
on.
Shortstop south, sophomore year in high school, jumping over those lines?
Well, I'm not jumping over necessarily, just avoiding it. I don't want to walk on the lines. I don't want to walk on the
on
logo.
The logos, huh?
I feel like
I never thought about that.
I thought that was common sense for sports fans. Good karma, not stepping
on.
Yeah,
I
bad
never,
karma
I,
if you do.
I get it, and I respect it. I respect the awareness. I just never associated or correlated like me walking on a logo, like me disrespecting the logo.
Yeah,
I just did it very absentmindedly many times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Even the players shouldn't be doing that. But anyway.
Well, they got to walk somewhere.
Yeah, walk around it.
Oh, come
I don't
on.
Know.
Walk around it.
Or maybe not have it so prevalent in the locker room. All right, Jeff is on. Put it on the wall. You don't have to worry about walking on it. Jeff is on Long Island. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, Jeff.
All right. So I'm going to beat up on Tibbs a little bit, as much as I've respected him over the years, because I think he's responsible for these two losses at home.
Mm-hmm.
Game number two, you had Karl Anthony Towns not even getting a shot off in the entire fourth quarter.
Yep.
Unacceptable as a coach. You got a high-level player there, seven-footer. Run something and get him something close to the basket.
Said the same thing. Yep.
Okay. Yesterday, you can't leave your star player on the sideline with one timeout trying to save a timeout. What are you trying to save a timeout for? What do you want? Just leave it for next year? Get out of here. Okay?
Well, so now, I mean, it was a tight game. I mean, it's a one-possession game.
I get it. But you got to get your best player on it. Now, I just want to bring up
but you get,
one
well, if you get it, then you wouldn't just say, well, what are you saving your timeout for? It's not like it's to me at least, there is something to consider where he's hoping he could keep his timeout and have a stoppage where he didn't have to burn the timeout and get his guys back in. Unfortunately, he never had that opportunity, and by the time he called the timeout, it was too late.
Hang on a sec, Jeff. Hold on, Jeff. But there's got to be a middle ground. Like, it was almost 3 minutes. If it was a minute, I'm like, okay, he tried it, didn't work out, he adjusted, got it, then he burned it. He just never adjusted. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah. All right, listen. So I've been hearing about Wally Szczerbiak bringing up the fact that there may be some issues in this locker room, and nobody brings this up. And here's the biggest reason why I say Tibbs has to go. I think that the issue in that locker room is there is daddy basketball with Rick Brunson being the associate top assistant on that staff. And it was brought up by DiVincenzo when he got traded to Minnesota and they had that issue on that court. I think that the biggest issue on this in this locker room is that you got daddy basketball and BT, you being a little league coach, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think
about
most
daddy
people
baseball.
Do. Yeah, I don't think you have to coach to get it, the at least the intonation there.
What NBA team has a daddy basketball coach?
Well, Jeff, here's the thing, though. I think it's an interesting point, and I'm not going to say that it's not true. I don't know. But what I would say is generally daddy ball, and again, that starts at the lower levels. You're right. So that's like, okay, you know, my kid struck out 37 times out of 43 plate appearances, but he's still batting first and playing short, or batting third and pitching. Like, we all know what it means. But Jalen Brunson is a self-motivated, egoless, incredibly affable, a warrior. Like, there's nothing about his personality or his play that I think would lead to resentment because his dad's on the staff.
Oh, okay, and then what does that have to do with Tom Thibodeau?
Well, I don't know that it does. I'm just saying.
He was saying he's going to rip Thibodeau. You're going to fire Rick Brunson? Well, I got news for you. You could fire Tom Thibodeau. Rick Brunson isn't going anywhere. He's going to be here front and center. You think they're going to fire?
I don't know.
They're going to fire Rick Brunson? Jalen Brunson being their superstar?
Probably not. They'll reassign. No, probably not. You're right. Probably not.
I mean, come
probably
on.
Probably not.
So you can want to get rid of Tibbs all you want. Rick Brunson, maybe they elevate him.
Imagine if he became the head coach.
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm not saying that there's not. We talked about the presence of another player, especially the star player's father.
Yeah.
And how I do think that could have I don't even know if I want to say negative impact.
Well, think about Deion Sanders. That's your door. There you go. That's a recent example.
Understood. I don't know if it's to the level that maybe DiVincenzo made it seem or that we could speculate about, but I don't know if his presence helps the team gel when you know that you're trying to gel as a team, but yet the superstar's dad is right there. There's a human element that to me
you can't be yourself, maybe kind of like a little bit of that. I would say that would be more true if they didn't have the Villanova background. Not 12 guys didn't go to Villanova, but when you have that kind of core and that kind of connected force at the center of the team, you would think that it would probably offset or go a long way in establishing great chemistry, you would think.
But how does that Villanova, the Nova Knicks and all that, how does that make the guys feel that weren't from Villanova?
No, but they're not better than the guys from Villanova. Who cares? Calling Anthony Towns. Do I really care what Shamit thinks? Shamit could have played for Holy Mansa. Well, I don't care what Shamit thinks.
OG Anunoby, Cole Anthony Towns, these are two of the best players.
I understand that, but those are two. I don't think that.
But also, I can't believe that you're missing this one.
Tell me. I might not be missing
it. What does it have to do with how good they are? Like, that has nothing to do with it.
How good the player is?
Yes. If you're on a team and you feel like there's a knit group of three guys, three or four, whatever it is, and you're on the outside of that.
Yeah.
Human nature is going to make you feel, I would think, like, oh, well, what, these guys are special because they went to Nova? Who cares? If I'm OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges couldn't shine my shoes. But because he went to Nova, he's going to be on the inner group. Like, that to me would bother me. So maybe OG Anunoby has.
It might be OG. He's had some weird.
Maybe it's Cole Anthony Towns who's trying to fit in. And now he's so good that I don't think he really cares about that.
Mm.
But maybe getting acclimated to Brunson's team and the Nova Knicks. I don't know if that has the positive impact that everybody likes to think when you talk about three or four players.
Yeah, but we make it seem like the four Nova Knicks are walking around in starter jackets, taking a different bus and staying in a different hotel.
No, but
I think they're great team chemistry. Now, I don't know about Bridges yet, but I think he's just quiet. I think he kind of just fits in and blends in. But I think Jalen Brunson is, when you're a superstar and you really don't have any, at least perceptible to us, ego, you're the best kind of star. You are low maintenance, high motor, incredible efficiency. You can't ask. He's like Aaron Judge. I mean, Judge is the best in the game by far, maybe the best ever. I'm not saying the correlation talent for talent, but that he's on autopilot. You know what you're getting from Jalen. I think my point is the bigger problem would be is if Daddy was the coach and Jalen's getting all the shots, but Jalen's not up to take the mail. Jalen Brunson is by far the best player on the team.
Right.
So anything that he accomplishes is through merit, not through daddy ball. That's what I'm saying. So nobody can have an issue with the dispersion of the shots and the allocation of the role.
But if they feel like they're, again, doesn't mean it's right, but if you feel like there is either favoritism, whether it's with Brunson or some of the Nova guys, that could lead to a disconnect. Just his presence alone, I think, can lead to an interesting
dynamic.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to leave that door slightly open because I think OG could be a little ticked off.
I don't know. I'm just doing the math and trying to do human element. You've played on teams where another kid was a coach. I'm assuming it happens all the time in Little League. And when it happens in the professional level, which is
so rare. It's so rare it happens.
I still think, remember, these are still young kids. They're not that far removed from intramurals. And
I got you. But if you're right, I don't agree with it, but I'm going to be open-minded here. Let me think how this could possibly manifest itself negatively. Now, first of all, Rick Brunson's not the head coach, so he's not distributing minutes. He's not calling out the plays, so he is not directly impacting. I'm going to feed my son because he's my son. What could Rick Brunson do that would favor people, that would alienate or disrupt team chemistry.
Maybe ride certain guys a little bit more. Maybe guys don't respect him, and they're like, you're only here because your son is Jalen.
He was in the NBA, and he was coaching in college at Temple. I mean, he's kind of got a pretty good resume. He wasn't a good player, but he's been coaching.
I get it. I mean, he was in the NBA, but...
But if he coached at Temple, Sal, he's got his welts on the wall, whatever that expression is.
I'm just saying,
I think it is,
actually. I'm playing devil's advocate or bringing up the other part of it. I'm not even saying that there is something to it. I just, to me, it's human nature to think that there might be an interesting dynamic. And forgetting, remember, I was focused more on the Nova stuff than even just the daddy ball. I don't think this is about daddy ball.
I don't think it's about that at all. There's no way.
But
I can't.
DiVincenzo had an issue with it, and he's one of the guys who went to Nova.
But did he have an issue because it got sent packing, or did he have an issue because they didn't like Rick Brunson?
I don't know, but there was an issue.
Yeah, I know.
And my thing is, anytime you create a click, the person who's not, or the people who aren't in that clique, human nature, are going to feel
a little left out, a little ostracized, a little alienated.
Right or wrong,
I don't disagree
with
that.
Good intentions, bad intentions. I'm not saying it's bad intentions. Like, it should be good intentions. Oh, these guys are familiar with each other because they played together at college. But what about the other guys who aren't? Are they now less than? Now, maybe that's on them to figure it out and be like, okay, well, what do I need to do my part or whatever? But maybe some guys are like, you screw your little clique. I don't need the Nova Knicks and that nonsense. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Again, I don't agree, but I know what you mean. Yes or no? You think that's what Wally was alluding to? If you had to take a guess.
Specific to either Daddy, Rick Brunson or the Nova stuff?
Some sort of disconnect because there's one group.
I think, put it this way.
Loosely with that.
I think there is a disconnect, and I don't know what it is. But that leads to speculation, and could it be a Nova thing? Could it be that there's certain clique? I mean, that happens all the time. It's not just a Nova thing. I remember 2006 with the Mets, there was the clique of the Spanish players and the white players. I mean, that was a thing. Yeah, I don't know if it came out years later, but I remember
hearing about that. Yep.
You know what I mean? Paula Duke or Billy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Wagner were ticked off that they were the ones answering all the questions when a lot of times maybe some of the Spanish players
I remember that well.
So like that, like there are cliques. It happens all the time.
Absolutely. The inner dynamics. Yeah. I mean, you know, Goose Gossage got into a fight in the shower with, I think maybe Cliff Johnson. I mean, Greg Nettles and Reggie hated each other. Thurman and Reggie couldn't stand each other. Right. Daryl and Keith threw punches on photo day. I mean, not everything's got to be, you know, complete, like, you know, it's got to be picture perfect. But I do think in basketball, if there's a lack of synergy, I think it's more problematic because I need you to give me the ball where I need it and vice versa. And I need you to set the screen and be committed to setting the screen. And if you don't like me or I don't trust you or whatever, that's going to adversely impact the team. Whereas, you know, Reggie Jackson gets in the batter's box 4 times and so does Greg Nettles. It doesn't matter. Go take some good swings.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back. The baseball perspective, great night for both teams. Mets just continue to roll. There is something special brewing at Citi Field. You can feel it. I know it's early, just 30 games in, but they had their best 30-game start since 2006. Obviously, Alonso a home run, Lindor a home run, good pitching again. The thing that stood out to me was the top of the fourth inning defense because not only was it 3 consecutive good plays. The first one was okay. Vientos tips it to Lindor. The second one was incredible with Tyrone Taylor. The third one was very good play by Lindor at short. But the energy, you're seeing passion. You're seeing energy. The players are playing hard, even in a 7-1 game, whatever it was, balls out, Tyrone Taylor diving like that. Like, that's just an incredible play. And then the crowd going nuts from 3 consecutive defensive plays. I don't recall ever seeing that before, BT. Something special brewing at Citi Field.
And don't forget, as you didn't, but you didn't mention it, but I know you happened, that it happened. I know you know that. But Pete had a pretty good night as well.
Oh, I said
first
the Pete home run.
Oh,
I'm talking about defensively.
Fielding.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just flashing leather left and right. That was fun to watch. Obviously, I'm getting those highlights. I'm immersed in the Knicks, and, you know, I'm doing that. And I didn't even watch a ton of the Yankees. I got many of the highlights there as well. I think that the Taylor play was the best. That is, when you have to turn as a righty, turn that glove and flip it the other way, run it toward the left center gap, that was a full extension. That was a great play. You know, one thing I notice about the Mets is that their manager, I like his messaging. Like, he is very, he says it with restraint, but he's very unapologetic. He's like, no, we're very talented. Like, it's never like, it's not a cute little story in his mind. He says almost every night, we've got some great players. We've got great defenders. We've got great hitter, whatever it is, specific to the post-game interview. So, yeah, Mets looked awesome last night. Did Soto go yard? I didn't check. I was watching the Knicks there.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I know that Grisham did. So as I
didn't
get
see
to the
any
Yankees,
shuffles.
Yeah, no shuffles here.
No, the party continues. Everything but Soto contributing at Citi Field.
It is amazing. And I did check. I told you, I was coaching third base last night. I did not check the Knicks score on my phone. I did check the Mets and the Yankees. I couldn't help it. And I saw, like, right away, you know, Yanks were up 9-0. The Mets were up big as well. I'm like, oh, God, the Mets scoring a lot of runs here. Hopefully Soto didn't go deep. And, of course, my eyes go right to the bogey. He's got a donut so far. Let's keep it going. I think very quickly on the Yankees here, I'm not going to sit here and say they found their new Don Mattingly, that, you know, Ben Wright's going to hit third every night. But the first trial run, pretty good as protection for Aaron Judge. 3-for-5. You know, he's got a good sense of the strike zone. So that jumped out to me. And listen, the other guys have looked, you know, Goldie's been very good this year. Judge is just ridiculous. They've got to shore up some issues in the bottom of the order, whatever. Rodon's been on a nice little run here.
You trust Rodon?
No, I mean, we went through this already. No, I don't trust him anymore.
But he's been much better. Yeah.
But I trust him to beat teams like the Orioles, who stink this year. By the way, they are the worst average against lefties coming in.
Disband the Orioles.
And, well, that's where I was going to go. The thing that I really take away the Orioles are, this is not a rough start. Like, the Orioles, they can stink this year.
They stink. But you could see this coming last year. Last year, going into the year, I thought that they were going to be very good.
You did.
The way that they
played, I did too.
And I know they went neck and neck with the Yanks for a little while there, but you could just see that they were a team that some people, myself included, expect them to take that next step into legitimacy and have some sustained success. And I was unimpressed last year. Postseason, even worse for them. This year, I had no expectations, but they have been god-awful.
They didn't spend any money.
Yeah.
The expectation as to why they were going to be a little different, you know, at least this current iteration, is that the owner, who's fairly new, was going to start investing in, or reinvesting in the product here. And you know that they've got a boatload of great, that's not overstating it, like great young position players, but their pitching is atrocious. I said the sound, I just happened to catch this on the broadcast the other night when Michael Kay said it. And man, I said, the Orioles, you know, they don't have a single pitcher on a deal that's more than 1 year. It's all like that one-year flyer, kind of like what the Mets did last year outside of Manaea. Right.
Except the Mets get good guys.
Yeah, but also the Mets were coming off a bad season, so it was under and a new regime, and it was, yeah, the Orioles were in the playoffs, and you would think that they were moving forward, and said they've been very stagnant. So I don't think the American League is very good. It's good to see Bellinger hit a home run. He's got to get going. But, yeah, I mean, you pump out 15 runs, whatever it was, 19 hits, a good night.
All right, so quickly for me, for the Yanks, Rodon has been much better than I ever thought he would be. Still don't trust him. That's number one. Now, the lineup, more important. When the Yanks, and they've done this now a couple times, home run, starting the game, right?
Second time, yep.
Okay. Doesn't that, to me, it takes away from the impact of, like, okay, Bellinger hit a home run, which is great in theory. Nice to see him get on the board. Yeah, but when everybody's hitting home runs, it's more about the crappy pitcher, just like it was when they did it with the Brewers, and just like it is last night with the... Now, I'm not trying to minimize it, because obviously it's fun, it's great. Grisham's been going nuts, he's having a big year. Judge, we know what Judge is. Rice, same thing. I'm not minimizing those guys. But when it happens that often, then it does, to me, it's more symbolic of the opponent being less than. The Yankees mashing them, sure, mm-hmm. but when you get a better opponent, and this is... this is the ugly pattern that we've seen with the Yanks. They mash. They are a bully offense. They mash bad pitching. And then against good pitching or good teams or situational hitting, just haven't been good enough or consistent enough.
Yeah. Now, I don't disagree with that, because that's been the issue with the Yankees. Doesn't mean I don't enjoy watching 15 runs, but I'm not taking the bait 100%. You know, like the fool's goal that I think tricked many of us over the years. Like, I'm at this point, I'm about situational hitting.
Right.
And I'm about, you know, player development, the young guys, whether it's a Volpe, whether it's a Wells, whether it's much lesser extent Cabrera, who's actually hitting pretty well. He's over 290. Whether it's Chisholm getting his act together, who looks awful this year, and he got hurt.
Yeah, do you see how? Because he's trying to be another guy to hit a home. You know he wanted to join the party and hit a home run.
I know.
He swings hard all the time, but you could see it on that swing.
Don't like his approach. I've got more of analysts that I've talked about Volpe quite a bit here on the show, especially the last week or so. I think that Volpe, I've got more faith in Volpe being a refined, productive, consistent hitter this year than Jazz Chisholm. Now, that doesn't mean that first, I don't even know how much time he's going to miss, but he's just, he thinks he's Reggie Jackson up there swinging, or Phil Mickelson trying to bang one 360 off the tee box when Phil was a kid. Dude, can you get an approach? It's always swing for the moon, maybe take a pitch, strike three. Like, and I know he's better than this, but I don't know how much, which is my fear. I think one thing that has to be said, and it's very easy to overlook, because we take some, not shots, but we have been very critical, some of us, and I'm one of them, of the job that Brian Cashman's done with certain things, not relief pitchers. I'm not talking about that. Brian Cashman absolutely nailed it with Goldschmidt. They read that market phenomenally. And I know he's not going to hit 360, but he is a sage voice in the locker room. He is a great pro in terms of preparation, a sounding board for Judge. Judge has talked about that quite a few times in terms of helping Judge get prepared, even increasing that for him. And he's a good fielder. He's a good contact guy. He's going to hit some home runs as the weather heats up here. So they nail first. It's a one-year, $12.5 million commitment. They absolutely crushed that.
No, they read that one right. That's the guy that they wanted, and so far, he has lived up to it. They don't worry about the age. Second half, we'll see.
Sure.
No, but too many times with this team, it's the same thing. You know, Grisham, Rice, Judge, Goldschmidt. Those are the four guys who have consistently been high performers. Of those four, how much of that is sustainable? Judge, we know for sure. Rice, okay, we think so. Grisham, a little bit less so.
We had a couple of years where we hit under 200 in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't go nuts with Grisham.
One thing I would do, I know this is probably more for tomorrow, whatever, but I would consider, if not flat out, just send Dominguez down. Not because of what Dominguez has done, but because of, you talk about developing players. He clearly is not ready for a full-time job in the big league.
I don't agree with that.
Dominguez?
Sitting 315 as a lefty.
As a lefty. Is he a lefty or is he a righty? Do you think he's fully developed?
No, that's not fully.
Well, that's my point.
But I can't send them down, Sal, when he's shown signs of being a viable...
Why?
I think that sends the wrong message.
Why? Well, so are we about messaging or developing players?
We're about both, but the messaging's got to fit. Got to fit the player. Well, like, he has not earned the right to be said. He has not been so substandard.
It's not about that. It's about developing.
I know what you're saying
him.
It's about reps here. What I'm saying is, I wish you would have played last night.
Why?
Because he's at 315
instead of who?
Well, that's, you know, I get that's the issue.
So it's not me. So again, like, I'm smarter than people think here. Okay. It's not me just saying, well, Dominguez needs to be sent down because he's hitting whatever from the right side. It has nothing to do with Dominguez.
You know, I got you. They got congested outfielders.
Oh, well,
they have no infielders.
That's number one. Number one. Trent Grisham, you can't take him out of the lineup right now.
I hear you.
Bellinger isn't going anywhere.
No.
And you're not taking out Aaron Judge. So that's like number one. Number two, and this is the primary thing here. The Yankees, and I'd love to see anybody fight me off on this, they have failed to develop players properly. That's a fact, Jack. Look at Anthony Volpe. Look at all the guys that were here that aren't here.
Yeah, we know that.
All of them. Like, okay, so instead of developing Dominguez properly, like, I think it could be a good thing. I know he's saying you got to worry about the fragile psyche. Okay, well, that's why Boone's got to cater to him in left field because, you got to make sure he gets out on a high note and don't want to have him butcher a game at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been okay in the outfield, but still not 100% confident with him out there. What's the harm in having a player with great potential? Like, Dominguez is not supposed to be a seven hitter. He's supposed to be an impact bat. What's the harm in sending him down and having him develop into a stud before you bring him back up here? Especially while guys are hot, mainly Grisham being in center field.
That would hold more weight with me if the roster shouted out, we don't need him right now. They do.
But they didn't even play last night.
No,
they won 15-3.
I know. I would have played him last night. I didn't love that he didn't start last night. That surprised me a little bit there. And I get it. It's a tough juggle for Boone here. You got to ride this Grisham train, see where it goes. But, you know, Jason Dominguez has had, I suppose, how many at-bats he's had. All right. So, yeah, against righties, he's had almost 60 at-bats. He's had roughly half of that against the lefties. So he's been pretty quiet from the right side, as we know.
Right.
He's hitting 321, pardon me, 321 with an 887 OPS from the left side as a lefty hitter. You know, whether it's, whomever it is, like, I just can't justify sending that guy down. If you're saying he's hitting a .190 in totality and he's showing nothing, and I would describe, I think that he's shown some wheels and some better aptitude in left field and certainly some mash ability for the left side, then I could say, well, yeah, he's not doing anything. He's not playing. So let's get him some reps at the minor league level. I just think that it's fundamentally wrong when somebody does what you ask them to do. He earned the job at a spring training from a hitting perspective. He's cleaned up his defensive miscues. He's performed from his power side at a very high level. I cannot look him in the eye and say, all right, young man, go back to the minors, get on a bus. I'm not doing that to him.
So what, and then what are you going to do, bench Grisham?
It's going to be a night-to-night merry-go-round. It's very tough for Boone.
And you think that's good for the development of Jason Dominguez?
I think it's better than sending him down and maybe crushing his morale. I don't know if it's the perfect thing. I'm not saying that.
Crushing his morale. He can't hit from one side of the plate. He's not strong enough in the outfield to make you feel confident.
But he has a bit of problems, Sal. What was the last play he butchered this year? The last play he butchered was February 20th.
Is Dominguez supposed to be a fourth outfielder, or was he supposed to be Mickey Mantle?
Well, forget about Mickey Mantle for now, because that's over. Forget about the comparisons. I'm just talking about a player that I watch night to night. I like him, and I want to run him out there in favorable spots.
Right.
Favorable spots based on the stats and based on the eye test or against righties. There's a lot more righties in baseball than lefty, and so I'm going to keep him off the team.
Okay,
and then send the guy down.
And then who's going to be out of the lineup against the righty?
I'm going to take it. Well, I'm going to rotate.
Right.
Grisham, now it's tough when he goes yard. I mean, do you sit him tonight? Probably
goes
not.
Yard. The guy, he's almost up there with Aaron Judge.
I understand that. Yeah. So I'm going to ride that.
Is Grisham better defensively than Dominguez?
He's the best, probably the best on the team.
Correct. He's had more of an impact offensively and a better defender. So you're going to take him out? I wouldn't. That's why I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but
you're going to take Bellinger out?
I mean, I might. I mean, where's the guarantee? Bellinger's got to play. He's at 190.
All right. Well,
now, I'm not going to sit him after he goes yard last night either. I'm not, because, you don't want to do that. Could be the start of a hot streak. Listen, I'm not saying that this is easy. And this is also that the Yankees are very structurally flawed. Like, I don't love the way they're constructed. I've said this. It's one of the reasons, although they look a little, I'm starting to get the sense that the Yankees might win more games than I thought they would. I thought like 90, 91. I think they might be mid-90s when it's all said and done. You get Luis Gil back when he comes back, which will probably be mid-July. But I just think it's a lot for the manager to juggle. I don't think there's no infield, but there's no backup infielders that I think are good.
Right.
And there's kind of a mishmash in the outfield with some superstars and some unknowns and a little bit in between. So I think that Boone's done a pretty good job juggling, but I would have played Dominguez last night, and no way am I sending him down.
And that's why I would send him down, is because you don't need him right now. I think the development of him is more important. They keep screwing the development of their young players up. Volpe is one of them. Oh, okay, you don't want to send him down years ago. It's year three. Volpe is getting worse. He hasn't been the player that they thought he was going to be. I don't want to ruin Dominguez. I want to get him as strong as possible so when he comes up, he is the guy. Hey, we're not messing with Dominguez. He's our left fielder, wherever they want to put him in the off-center field, whatever it may be. That's it. We're leaving him alone, and now you know he's there the majority of the time. Well, right now, I don't think you could say that. They're easing him in. I personally would send him down and further develop him.
You see, like the... I think when you talk, oh, it's, wow, it's late. We got a break here.
Yes.
Told you we should talk baseball early. Yeah, we had a lot to say, man. I would just say that, like, retarding the development and the confidence of a young player who's not scuffling, to me, that's overthinking it. Now, I do get the value of getting up four times every night, whether it's AAA, AA, or here. I like Lombard, I get that. High A, understood. He's not overwhelmed, and he is producing. He's got to stay. They're not going to send him down.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll finish up with your next call.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24-7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sal. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
When we come back, let's finish up on the phones the way that we started with the Knicks conversation. Anthony is in Red Bank, New Jersey. What's up, Ant?
Let's face reality, guys. If the Knicks get past this weak Pistons team, and they are weak, we're not talking about Rodman and Isaiah Mahorn and that microwave, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. So if they do get past them, they got the Celtics waiting for them. If it goes six games, I'd be surprised. You know, Tibbs, his era has run its course. What Dolan needs to do the day after the Knicks lose to the Celtics or the Pistons is find out where Jay Wright is, fly to him, and get one of those, you know, those checks if you win the lottery or a big jackpot in Atlantic City, those big, big checks. Just hand it to him, give him a big marker, and say, just fill it in.
Yeah, I don't know if I want Jay Wright, and thank you for the call, Ant. Where do you stand? Are you just Mike Malone and that's it?
No. That's funny. I was thinking about Jay Wright as well. I mean...
Enough with the Villanova stuff for me. I mean, this is the New York Knicks here. Enough.
Well, I mean, to me, it's less about the Villanova thing, and it's more about the lack of overwhelming evidence of college coaches coming to the NBA transitioning with a great deal of success. It would be exciting, but that's not the move that I think that they need.
Exciting, intriguing, sure. But if you're going to fire Tom Thibodeau, and I still would not, if you're going to do that, you better do it for a no doubt about it proven NBA champion, especially being that there's at least one out there with Mike Malone. Reed is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Reed?
Hey, how's it going? I'm not sure if you need a proven NBA champion. I think, head coach, I think what the Knicks need is like a young, innovative head coach. They have the pieces. Like, we've talked a lot about their stagnation on offense, their defense not being as good as it should be with these two supposedly elite wing defenders and Ananobi and Bridges.
Yeah.
I think, like, what you can see with some of these young, innovative coaches, like what they've got in OKC, however you pronounce that guy's name, something like that, I think, is what could really transform this Knicks team.
It's a good thought. But you also have to understand that Jalen's a very unique offensive talent because he's fairly small in size and stature and explosiveness. You know, I don't know that every offense is going to fit well, you know, they'd have to really augment this, and there's only so many ways to flip it up to make it meet his skill set. I don't know if that's as easy as you might think it is.
Which is also why I think it could be a mistake firing Tibbs.